Well, good evening, Harvest family. So glad to see everybody tonight. For him, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin our service tonight, and we'll add some other prayer requests as well as we get to those during our prayer time. Lord, we do love you, and thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. I do ask your blessings on our time together tonight. I pray that you would bless our efforts, be those who still may be making their way in, and those who are traveling, and those who are not at home, not feeling well. I pray your blessings upon them. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be a blessing and a source of encouragement for one another and glean from the scriptures as we continue to study our way through the book of Proverbs. Lord, again, we love you and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. City, Father. And now, Lord, we pray that you'd help us tonight as we prepare to transition to our Bible study tonight. We pray that we'd glean and learn from the scriptures, we'd be encouraged and challenged. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, trust everyone has a handout tonight. And again, I may use the word you. I'm not referring to you folks. It's plural form, but in general, sometimes it's hard when you're making notes and writing things down and what form and what possessive form to use and what group to use. And I was taught one thing on homiletics about you never do this, you never do that. And I found myself later in years of ministry, why? Why should I never do this? Or why should I never use this form? Why shouldn't I do this? So I've some of those things I've kept to, and some of those things I've just thrown out and done what is comfortable to me. But tonight, our text verse that we'll start with is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 16, and we'll get to that in just a moment. We're going to continue on abundance in the book of Proverbs, but we're going to look at it in a different way. We spent a couple weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, on the gems of abundance, and we talked about hard work and diligence, knowledge, and faithful character. Counsel that is wise leads to abundance. Giving honors the Lord. Generosity toward others leads to abundance. And then we close out with that, and God's word leads to abundance as well. And tonight and next week, I think, we'll see how far we get next week, we're going to look at problems with abundance. Yeah, there's actually problems with having an abundance or too many of the wrong things. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight and tomorrow night. Letter A, violent and ruthless men. Here's problems with abundance. It can lead to violent and ruthless men. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. And that word there, strong, can refer to ruthless. The word strong is from the Hebrew word aritz, which means terror, striking, ruthless, oppressive, and even violent. So it's really important. I find it very helpful when doing word study, especially in the book of Proverbs, but in general, and finding out some of these words and its extended meanings from the Hebrew or the Greek, depending on what book you're studying. See, there's a good way to gain abundance, and there is also a bad way to gain abundance. There is no denying that violent, oppressive men take from others and gain their abundance by trampling and hurting other people. Now, we may use the phrase that some people just run roughshod right over people for their own advantage or their own gain. The problem with this kind of behavior is the fact that you cannot enjoy what you have taken because of the fear that your ruthless companions might take it from you, or victims may take revenge on the way you've handled things. There is also the problem of guilt that comes from destroying others and seeking gain. The greed that festers this violent behavior brings trouble to your own life and to your family. Again, nothing wrong with having abundance, but the right kind. But there can be a problem with abundance if you've retained it or obtained it the wrong way. You may gain possessions, but you also gain problems and sorrows, especially when you get them the wrong way. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. When God blesses us with abundance, he does not add sorrow or guilt. Sometimes we feel guilty for having certain things, but we've got to remind ourselves there should be no guilt when God blesses and God provides. When we gain them the wrong way, then yes, there should be guilt. His blessings leave us enriched, full, and satisfied. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There should be no reason to feel bad. There should be no reason to feel wrong in having things when God has blessed and honored. If you've worked hard for it because your Lord has blessed you with health and insight and wisdom to be able to gain those things. It's when we gain them, as mentioned, by violent and ruthless ways. Letter B. The problems of abundance can not only be with violent and ruthless men, but also it could cause being filled with loathing men, filled and loathing men. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The word soul here in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7, refers to the whole person with all his appetite, if you read it within context. But the main reference is to eating, but I think we can make some application, because the application can also refer to possessions and experience and other things as well. Abundance can lead to loathing for more of what you have, or a lack of appreciation for good things. I think today our world is used words like entitlement, or having things for the wrong ways, the wrong reasons, and they should be taken from them. But then again, the word soul here refers to the whole person with all his appetite. Abundance can lead to loathing for more, again, of what you have, or lack of appreciation for good things. This is seen in the word loatheth. It comes from the Hebrew word bus, which means to trample, reject, or to kick out. So when we look at it in a different light, and understanding that, the picture is that of a man who is stuffed and rejects or tramples a honeycomb. Now, keeping with culture and with the situation, honey here in the book of Proverbs, honey with the children of Israel, honey with this aspect of the region is a big thing. Honeycombs is a big thing, and that's why I think it's being used as an example. He tramples it because it no longer considered important or valuable. He tramples it because he no longer has any need for it. It is no longer special to them. In other words, they've taken for granted. They don't have the appreciation for it any longer. The children of Israel loathed the manna that God provided them in the wilderness. I can remember when we first went to the mission field. I learned real quick there was a lot of things that I took for granted, a lot of things I didn't appreciate as much as I should have. The first auditorium that we had our services in were the old theater seats, because we rented a school auditorium or college auditorium to hold our services in, and they're the old fold down and flop down seats, not padded. And they were all stacked in just real, real close. It set at a little bit of an angle with a high in the back going down. And even though it was an economic institute, there was no heat in the building in the winter. So, yeah, you come in, you can see your breath when you're singing or talking. And I learned real quick, boy, I sure miss the padded pews at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church back in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. I miss the warm room during the winter, which also means there was no air conditioning in the summer. And there are summers at times not as bad as it is here, not as bad as other mission fields, but you know how it is, 90 degrees, 90% humidity, and no windows. Yeah, it could get really warm. Sometimes I wonder, how do we take for granted, or don't show the appreciation for things that we do have, the things that we do enjoy? And that's kind of the gist. The full soul, or those that are overly satisfied with their possessions, their honeycomb, their things, their surroundings, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I remember one time my dad asked me, we're talking about the situation. He goes, son, how How hard are you finding it to live this way? He says, you know, because I asked him after a visit, he was there for about a couple weeks, and he said, yeah, it reminded me of growing up, but for you, I lived this way growing up. You did not live this way. And coming here and moving backwards, the people that you minister to, they don't know anything different. They appreciated, they didn't think about not having any heat. They didn't think about not having any AC, but they were grateful that they could meet freely in public and worship the Lord. They were grateful they had a word of God that was forbidden for them for many, many, many years. So sometimes our perspective gets skewed on what we appreciate, what we don't like, what we don't appreciate, and we throw out the good and trample it. The picture here, again, as I rephrase this and go back where I was, is that a man who is stuffed and rejects or tramples a honeycomb, taken for granted. He tramples it because it no longer is considered as important or as valuable to him. He tramples it because he no longer has any need for it, or it is no longer special, no longer shiny and new. The children of Israel, again, loathed the manna that God provided for them in the wilderness. They became ungrateful for God's provisions. Let me encourage you before I go on. When's the last time that you spent some time, and Thanksgiving is gone, Christmas is coming, but just grateful for what we have, for the things that God has blessed us with, the things that God has provided for us. And that's why so often through the years of my ministry, and I want to continue to do that, is ask for praises and testimony once in a while to remind us of God's goodness, to share of God's goodness with others. The full soul is satisfied by something else, and therefore the good thing, the provisions of the Lord, is no longer valuable or good to them. It doesn't taste as sweet. It feels no regret or hesitance in wasting something that would be considered valuable or to someone else who was in great need, because they have become ungrateful for God's provisions. An individual who has little or nothing sees great value and importance in things that have been rejected by others. Even that which is bitter is considered sweet. Let me say that again. An individual that has little or nothing sees great value and importance in things that have been rejected by others. Another story, when we were on the mission field, I know other missionaries can tell this, we had a mini vineyard in the property that where we were living, and I had no use of that many grapes because I know they used it to make wine. So we began taking out that little mini vineyard. We were going to leave just one row and for grapes for consuming. And a lot of our neighbors heard about it, and they came over this in an uproar. No, no, those are some of the best grapes. They make the best wine. Leave it. I'll come and tend it for you and take the grapes. I said, oh, no, you won't. So we did end up taking those out, but people were upset. And then they come back, well, at least if you're going to tear it down, can I have all the shrubs? Can I have all the waste? And even when we raised corn, they wanted the stalks. Why? Because they burned it in the winter for warmth. Because many of them didn't have anything else. They kept possessed. They took of those things. We saw it as trash and was throwing it out. We had no need of it because, after all, I've got a diesel tank there in the back. I just put diesel in it. There was times I wished that I didn't, because you know how hard it is in Eastern Europe where there is no salt and they only put sand out in bad sandstorms? You know how hard it is to get a truck to deliver diesel fuel for your heater? It's impossible. We had many winters that I wished I had the means to burn some corn stalks and some old grapevines and some wood or whatever else that I could cut down, but I didn't know. But I did learn real quick in some of those areas. Another thought, when it comes to a marriage, a man with a good woman who is disappointed with marriage cannot appreciate what he has. His full soul loathes the honeycomb. He does not consider his good wife to be special and valuable. He takes her for granted. If he were to consider the lonely men without a wife, he could find her maybe quite sweet again. The same truth holds for the woman that takes her husband for granted. Many truths can hold for the child who takes their parents for granted, and even sometimes parents taking their children for granted. Wasting blessings or taking them for granted. How often do things that we have that we just get accustomed to having, used to the benefits, use it for a while and then it's not there anymore. It's not as valuable. We should make sure that it's not the same way with people, those that we minister to, those that we're trying to reach, or the provisions that God has given us. A little bit of a humorous story, another one that I found that would go well here. Those kids will drive you crazy. That's what the old man's friends told him when he bought that small, well-kept house just down the street from the local junior high school. He probably moved out of Pebble Creek. Contrary to their warnings, though, the man's first few weeks in his new house went without a hitch. Then school year began. The very next afternoon, three young boys full of pent-up energy whooped their way down the street, just whooping and hollering and merrily, and on every trash can they passed by, they were playing the drums on. The crashing percussion continued day after day during the school year until finally the man decided it was time to take action. One afternoon, he walked out to meet the young percussionists as they banged their way down the street. He said, "You kids are a lot of fun. I like to see you express your excitement. That I like it because it reminds me of the things that I used to do in my youth. In fact, I like it so much that I will give each of you a dollar if you'll promise to come around my street and my house every day and to do your thing." The kids grinned at each other and agreed to continue their afternoon trash can performances every day after school. After a few days, the old timers greeted the kids again, but this time he had a sad look on his face. "This recession, guys, is really putting a cramp and a big dent in my income. From now on, I'm only able to pay you 50 cents instead of the full dollar." The boys looked at each other and obviously a little bit disappointed, but they accepted his offer and they continued their ruckus every day after school on their way home. A few days later, the wily retiree approached the kids again as they drummed their way down the street. "Look," he said, "I haven't received my Social Security check yet. I am not going to be able to give you more than 25 cents. Will that be okay with you?" "A lousy quarter," the boys proclaimed. "I think we're not going to waste our time beating these cans up and down your street for a quarter. You're nuts. No way, mister. We quit." Now, you know he outsmarted these boys, but the point I want to make here is from that day on, the old man enjoyed peace and quiet. But remember, they were doing it free. Then they were doing it for a dollar. Then they were doing it for 50 cents. And they refused to do for a quarter what they were doing for free to begin with. Didn't appreciate the honeycomb, did they? Didn't appreciate. I don't know how the story would have went if they'd have taken up on his quarter. I guess he would have went down to a nickel. But the full soul loathes the honeycomb. The full boys loathed 25 cents. Let's make sure we're not getting too full with satisfaction with the things that we have and God, what God has blessed us with. Let's not get too full or satisfied with the facilities and the buildings and the people we have here at Harvest. Let's not be full in that sense and become loathsome or become satisfied, but let's continue to be a hunger and have a desire and enjoy the sweetness of the honeycomb that God has provided, the things that he has provided, the blessings, the people, the friends, the family that he has provided. See, some people today loathe the Lord and his word because they are looking for satisfaction in something else, and sometimes maybe even in someone else. The abundance they possess leaves them thinking they have no need for God or for his word. They just are not as important as they used to be. Their opportunities to either be saved or to serve the Lord are wasted away because they are full of themselves and of their own will. You see, many Christians in this country have taken for granted the fact that we have an abundant access to the Bible, whereas in some countries of the world, people would give almost anything to have the scriptures. Countless missionaries could share this from the many parts of the world they've ministered to, but how many times in America have you went somewhere where people were in a line to get a copy of the Bible? In line to get in church. in line to get involved with anything spiritual of any aspect. It's the world we live in as a whole, I realize that. But even as believers, that we should not become too content or full or fed up or allow things to be loathsome or not appreciated the way they should. Again, some Christians are so spiritually fat that they have lost the specialness of God's word. How precious. I remember the first time in the city of Kiev, Kiev too, but of Chisinau, 800,000 people. Former communist country, high rises on every corner of the city, people everywhere. And having an opportunity to do tract distribution, to pass out Bibles there in the city, and then later in the village that we moved to start a church, and to see people receiving and getting a copy of the Bible and just hold it as if it was the most precious thing, as if it was a newborn child, and weeping and making the comments, I never in my lifetime thought I would ever have a copy of the Bible. Seniors, older people, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, and just weeping because they never thought, could not believe it was going to be given to them for free. People sit in line, people are in line to get a Bible, and people asking how much does it cost? Nothing is free. And then jump right in the line because the first thought was, what's it going to cost me? And the surprise of how many people in line standing for it. Let's make sure that we don't get too comfortable and too satisfied. And I think this is why so many churches have problems in many areas, especially during the 60s, the 70s, and 80s. And I think it's picked up even more now in our generation where we get content. And how many people go to church, make a profession, follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and all the teaching and the only teaching they get is if and when they come to church. The encouragement to get into the Word, the encouragement to be discipled, the encouragement to ask for a discipleship book that I can work through, that I can study, and how can I be mentored and discipled. It's so much gone to the wayside in so many areas. I think it's led in some aspect to where we are today. It still amazes me to talk to young people, and even some of the young people and some of the new families have been visiting and making comments when I talk to them that I've never been challenged to read my Bible. I've learned more in one service here of recent than I've learned in the last couple months at my church. And my question is always the same. Why are you still there? You know, get into the Word. You know, don't rely on just getting what you get on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night, but through the week. I mean, you don't just eat a big lunch on Sunday. You eat every day of the week. Why not also get into the Word? Let's not take for granted the goodness that God has provided. We're not only to hear the Word, but we are also to put it into practice and to share it with others. Yes, there is violent and ruthless men because of abundance. There are those that are filled in loathing men because they're filled with abundance. Let's make sure the abundance that we have, access to the Scripture, the abundance we have, access to fellowship, the abundance we have access to the Word of God and being in preaching and teaching, that it doesn't come to a point, in other words, that we're always hungry and never filled. Always a desire to learn and to grasp and to take what we've learned and to invest in others. As we minister to those who are spiritually hungry, we will regain our enthusiasm for the Lord and His Word. As we minister to those who are spiritually hungry, we will regain our enthusiasm for the Lord and His Word. I remember the first soul that got saved when we were on the mission field and the excitement that I had and encouragement from that to think, wow, I've really got to learn this culture and this language. Because I'm preaching through a translator that I always call interrupters, because you know, you got to stop speaking every once in a while for them to talk. And that's the excitement and the zeal to push me to continue preaching. And I found myself, because not realizing because of communism, not really realizing because of what they didn't have, I didn't understand so much of the culture. I didn't understand how much they didn't have. I took for granted the basics. And I found myself basically preaching salvation and assurance every Sunday for weeks. And seeing people responded and coming to know Christ, especially high school kids and college and career kids. We saw more of them saved than we did adults. Actually, the high school kids and the college kids set the pace for salvation, then adults began to be saved. It was a younger generation that did not have at all or even knew about, but the older generation that wanted and never heard it was a little more reluctant. Dear friends, let's make sure that we keep the fire stoked in our soul, the zeal and excitement of serving and telling others about the Lord, ministering to others. Let me ask you four questions as we come to a close. Are God's blessings causing you to reject the one who gave you the blessings? Are God's blessings causing you to reject the one who gave you the blessings? Do you have so much that you have forgotten the value of that which is little or valuable? Do you have so much that you have forgotten the value of that which is little or valuable? Has the abundance of activities in your schedule crowded out your time with Christ? If we're not careful, we can get so busy. Even during the holiday season, the shopping, filling out the card. We were talking about Christmas cards and the stacks that we fill out and the envelopes that we lick and the stamps and send out and all that's going on, all the preparations. Do we find ourselves getting so busy that some of our time with the Lord has been crowded out or been minimum because our schedules are so busy? Are you putting the truths of Scripture into practice? Are you putting the truths of Scripture into practice? Again, violent and ruthless men, they come this way because of abundance. Abundance can cause us to feel filled, which could lead to loathing and hating other things. Next week, blank and blank. You got to come back to find out. No, it'll be in 2 weeks. I'm not going to give you those blanks. You've got to come back. So we'll do that. And of course, we got Christmas coming up for next week, so that'll be in 2 weeks. You know why I did that? Not because I'm honoring. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you a little story. You know how much I see up here on the floor, also how much I see up on the platform? When the last blank is filled out and the last scripture is read, the notes go in the Bible. So I thought I'd just keep them out and leave the blanks at the very end to see if we can give everybody with your outline in front of you until the very, very end. Preacher, that was mean. Yes, I'm just being honest, so. Proverbs on abundance. Problems of abundance. And we'll get a little further next week in the blank and lack of blank, blank. We'll get to that next week. Again, as always, the Lord loves you, His preacher loves you. I can be helped you in any way. Please don't hesitate to ask. Looking forward to the holidays. Michelle, you want to share a blessing? I think you probably can now. Why not? Someone else was told. Go ahead. I give you permission. No? Are you sure? All right. Got a blessing I want to share, but I got to wait. Next week? So you got to come back Sunday to find out. Got to find out Wednesday. What? I can't hear you. No. All right. Michelle thinks I should wait. Huh? Yeah. Michelle thinks I should wait. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness and blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the time with our church family. And Lord, thank you so much for your provisions. Lord, help us to enjoy the abundance that you have bestowed upon us. But Father, help us to not become loathsome. Help it to always be sweet to us in our life, to our taste, to our eyes, to our lifestyle. And always enjoy your goodness of the provisions, the friends, the family, and the possessions you've provided. Now bless us as we depart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.